It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. A lot to talk about. Come on in. Stay a while. Former Heisman winner Tim Tebow will join us coming up. Ross Tucker, our good buddy, CBS Westwood One, former NFL player, will stop by as well. As we always do every Monday, it's best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Operator Tyler standing by to take your phone calls, email, tweet, if you'd like. Email address DP at DP Show and email address DP at danpatrick.com. Play of the day, stat of the day, poll question. Oh, by the way, you can't just have one day to celebrate Pauly's birthday. It's Pauly's birthday week sale.
Yes.
Oh. Nobody loves celebrating their birthday more than Pauly does.
Happy birthday week, Paul.
Yeah. Oh, clearly not run by me in any way.
Go to danpatrick.com. If you buy one T-shirt, you get another for 50% off. The discount, taking a checkout. The sale is set to go all week long. It's happy birthday,
happy birthday,
happy birthday.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
I'd rather rewatch the Bears-Packers game.
Yeah. Congratulations. You got your own week to celebrate. All week long. Yeah, Paul.
I'm going to be serious. I don't care about my birthday, and you know this. And I thought about it this morning. I go, man, it's cool that it's on a Saturday this year. It'll fly right by under the radar.
No.
Wrong.
Not on our radar. Yeah. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Also, our good buddies at Discover. We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, or we could talk about how with Discover, redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. It's amazing. Learn more. Discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. Jets, Lions, Jags, Giants. How many times have we said those are winners in the NFL? Have the Jets, Lions, Jags, and Giants won a game the same weekend? How long ago has that been? Dolphins also with a big win. Trey Lance done for the season. Jimmy G, come on down. All he does is win. I said that maybe Urban Meyer would be interested in Arizona State if there was a job opening. Well, there's a job opening. We also talked about Nebraska. There's a job opening there as well. Aaron Judge, 58, 59. Will there be 60, 61, 62? You know what's lost in all of this with Aaron Judge? He might win the Triple Crown, and nobody's talking about that. He leads in homers, he leads in RBIs, and he's just a couple of percentage points behind. I think he's third in batting right now. An incredible year. Not one, but two football games tonight on the mothership. Titans, Bills, Vikings, and the Eagles. If I told you a month ago these quarterbacks would lead their teams to a win in week two, Jimmy G, Joe Flacco, Jared Goff, Daniel Jones, or Cooper Rush, what would be more surprising out of all of those? Because Flacco, we're not sure about Zach Wilson. We knew he got hurt, so we knew that Flacco was going to be the starting quarterback. Jimmy G, we didn't even know if he was going to be on the team. And if he was on the team, was he going to play? Could he play? Was he healthy enough to play? He wasn't even involved in any of the offseason workouts, training camp, nothing. I love how, you know, there are NFL fans going, hey, you got to give Niners credit. They kept Jimmy G. They had no other choice. They tried to trade him. He thought he was going to be traded. All of a sudden, he comes in, and you're like, eh. But I do think it gives him a better chance to win this year. Jared Goff with the Lions, I'm not surprised. Daniel Jones, all right, you're playing at home. I'm not surprised. That's two wins for the Daniel Jones-led Giants. All right, maybe it's not Daniel Jones-led. Cooper Rush. First of all, if I would have said Cooper Rush would lead his team to a win in week two, you'd have to realize who Cooper Rush was. You mean Cooper Kupp? No, Cooper Rush. Yes, Todd.
And against the defending AFC champions, no less.
And the Cincinnati Bengals, back-to-back losses. I think the last time a Super Bowl team lost first 2 weeks, anybody want to guess? Now, I'm going off the top of my head, so I'm not quite sure here. 2013 Seahawks?
Checking.
Falcons, guess? Maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Bengals lost to the Cowboys. Let's see. Cincinnati, first Super Bowl losing team to start the season 0-2 since 2014 Seattle Seahawks. Bloop, bloop. And Cincinnati could have won both of those games. But, you know, there's a couple of games yesterday where you're going, okay, sure, you got a blocked field goal touchdown, a blocked punt touchdown, a fumble return for a touchdown, all in the same week. Crazy stuff. But if you told me a month ago Cooper Rush was winning a game in week two, that would probably stand out. And you know what? I thought he played well. You don't turn the ball over and you get a touchdown. Just, I think all you have to do is be a threat. Here was another thing, and this has bothered me, you know, because we question Bill Belichick. We're like, who's calling the plays? That's the problem. You know what the problem with the Patriots is? That offense is horrible. If I put Mac Jones on the Dolphins and put Tua on the Patriots, you'd go, man, Mac Jones is balling out with the Dolphins. Yes, you got Tyreek Hill. You got Jalen Waddle. They have a good offense. You watch the Patriots, I would rather watch a backyard football game. I'd rather go to a random high school game on a Monday night or a Friday night. I can guarantee you the offense will be more interesting. Patriots won. And if TJ Watt played, I don't think there's any chance that the Patriots win that game. But you're watching on, who's calling the plays? It doesn't matter who's calling the plays. They don't have any offense there. A couple other notes. Kyler Murray, if I'm Arizona and I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I just say, look, I can't coach. I can't help you. I'm just going to say go out there and play. You know, just go play. I don't know, create something. Go. I don't care. It's the same thing with Lamar Jackson. You're just sort of like, let's just let him play. Now, it's different with the Ravens because Harbaugh is probably a Hall of Fame coach when it's all said and done. You know, the defense was really, you know, let them down. Because I didn't think Tua played well. Like, he had a couple underthrown balls, and you got Tyreek Hill. And give credit to the Dolphins. And Jalen Waddle, now you're finding out. You know, Jalen Waddle was spectacular. But you know, Tua was able to make a couple of plays. The last drive was really important. It was a good throw to Waddle. Waddle had 11 catches. Tyreek Hill was a home run waiting to happen. And you know what? They're going to make the AFC East interesting. back-to-back winning records the past two seasons. And, you know, now all of a sudden they got your attention. But it wasn't one of those where I go, and people are going to overreact to Tua. Six touchdown passes. I don't even know if Dan Marino ever did that. Hey, it's a great start. But I think you got to understand, this is week two. And I want to see when you have to make those big plays. Like, that's the really important part of all of this. With any quarterback, can you make a big play when you need to, when everybody knows what you're going to do? And I thought that last drive was really big. I did watch, so I'm watching Dolphins in real time. I watched the Jets in real time. I watched the Cardinals in real time. And I'm fascinated with Kyler Murray. But every time he gets the ball, I'm thinking, it just give him a little bit of space and he's going to make something happen. I don't think Arizona's offense is good, but he makes them interesting. The Jets game, spectacular. The Browns had it. It's like, okay, just if Nick Chubb goes down, if he doesn't score the touchdown, they run the clock out. They win. Now, I know that he's not thinking, well, we're going to give up two touchdowns here.
No one was.
No. You're thinking, oh, Nick Chubb, and oh, by the way, hey, thank you, fantasy team. You know, he's on my fantasy team. And I thought, okay. And then all of a sudden, the Jets score so easily. And I'm thinking, well, they get the onside kick. They at least got a chance. I mean, Joe Flacco. And then they score the touchdown, the extra point. I went, I'll be damned. When's the last time the Giants and Jets won on a weekend? Yeah, Paul.
I got week 14 of 2011. The Giants, the Jaguars, the Lions, wow. And Jets all won.
I like that.
2011.
All right.
I still don't believe it.
Let's go.
Stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
All right, Seton, what do you have for me today?
We got a bunch of options here, Dan, for
right.
you.
Okay.
Let's see. We could go with most deceiving record right now.
Ooh. Deceiving Ooh. Monday.
Ooh. Deception Monday.
Deception Monday.
The Giants are 2-0.
There you go.
Yeah, Barkay, well, just
Stop
one
right
answer.
There. Stop
yeah,
right there.
The Giants at 2-0, Bengals 0-2, Raiders 0-2.
Mm.
I put the Buccaneers in there at 2-0.
That was a boring game, except for the fight and Tom throwing his helmet and his tablet.
It's like 3-3 going into the fourth quarter, I think.
I know.
What a snoozer.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah.
Here's one for you. Trouble? Question mark. Ooh. Colts, Bengals, Raiders, Broncos, other.
I'd say the Colts. I mean, that was a dark horse Super Bowl team. Matt Ryan, dark horse MVP. Like, I'm watching this game now.
They're ready to win right now.
I will point this out. You know, we were talking about the Jags after Urban Meyer was let go. Doug Peterson comes in, and we were wondering, can this be a 500 team? And then my source said, hey, they have a ton of young talent, as much young talent as anybody, and it'll be a positive to get Urban Meyer out of there. They got cap room. Doug Peterson's won a Super Bowl. He's an offensive-minded guy. They got a couple of really good defensive players. And I thought that they played well. I didn't think they would beat the Colts, or certainly beat the Colts like that. But that was a humbling, humbling game. If you're the Colts, that's one of those where you wait for Jim Irsay. You know, Jerry Jones is available. In fact, Jerry will tap you on the shoulder and say, do you want me, you want to interview me? Jim Irsay, the Colts owner, that'd be one of those where you wait for him. Like, Jim, comments? good stuff. All right. 877-3DP-SHOW. We say good morning if you're watching on chat or on Peacock. If you're chatting on Chat Row, download the app. You can watch for free. We could never charge you for this content. It's great to see Fritzy back. He had jury duty on Friday.
Good to be back.
Yes. Now, how long are you back for?
That's it. I could have been picked for a jury, which would have been this coming Thursday and Friday if they had picked me to be a member of the jury on the case that they were discussing, but they dismissed me.
Did you go out of your way to be dismissed?
I gave honest answers, but I knew based on the answers I gave that may have been embellished slightly without having to like go to prison for what I'm about to say. I was very honest with my answers, and I knew based on that they were not going to choose me.
Did you tank? Did you tank the interview?
There was a slight tank.
Okay.
There was something about a dog attack, and I made sure one of the answers in my questionnaire that they handed out was about how I got, which it was true, I got attacked by my uncle's dog as a kid, and I'm afraid of dogs, and basically letting them know that I'm going to be for the person that got bit by the dog.
Give me a sample. What other questions did you get asked?
The attorneys introduced themselves. One was from Trantolo and Trantolo, which is some local Connecticut law firm. And the defense side was just some woman in her own private practice, whatever. And I wrote, the question was, do you know anybody from either side as far as the, you know, the legal people, the attorneys? Mm-hmm. So I said, actually, I watch those Trantolo and Trantolo commercials all the time. I love those guys. So I knew that wouldn't be fair for the other side to say that.
I love those guys.
I see those commercials all the time. Those guys are great. I'm going to have to vote for whoever's representing.
But you love them?
I think I might have said I like those guys a lot, but I was basically letting them know that there's one side already without even hearing the case. I like the lawyers on that side versus that side. I see those commercials. They seem like cool dudes.
So you tanked?
Kind of, a little bit.
All right.
I didn't want to get picked.
The shocker is Fritzy picking the two male lawyers over the female lawyer, which one he liked more. That's a shocker. Mm.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Ross Tucker, our good buddy, CBS Westwood One. We'll get to your phone calls, as we always do every Monday. Best and worst of the weekend. We'll take a break, just getting started, as we celebrate Paulie's birthday week at danpatrick.com. We'll take a break back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
basically everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner. Homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Ross Tucker, CBS Westwood One color analyst. He'll be on the call for the Titans and the Bills on Westwood One coming up tonight. Ross, good to have you on the program again. Let me start with this. If I told you a month ago, these quarterbacks would lead their teams to a win in week two. Jimmy Garoppolo, Joe Flacco, Jared Goff, Daniel Jones, or Cooper Rush. What would be more surprising with that statement?
Oh, geez. Man, probably Cooper Rush, because I wouldn't have thought that Dak would get hurt that early and Cooper Rush would be out there. But I think any of those guys are surprising, right? I mean, that's one of the things I think is so interesting about the NFL, Dan. And on some level, I guess it makes it better, but it also makes it worse. You know, the injury risk, the fact that teams' fates can change in an instant, like what might have happened with the 49ers yesterday, the fact that every game is a unique entity because you don't know who's playing. It changes the game plan. Even that Saints-Bucks game, to already play that game in week two with no Julio Jones, no Chris Godwin, no Alvin Kamara, I don't know that I would go so far as to say it's one of the things that makes football better or makes the NFL better, but it certainly makes it more interesting than the other sports, is that stuff like that happens a lot.
I would agree with you with Cooper Rush, because that would have meant that Dak Prescott got injured. I wouldn't have been surprised with Garoppolo, just the fact that I'm not quite sure how long the leash was with Trey Lance. I know that they're all in, and all Jimmy does is win. Flacco, with Zach Wilson being injured. Jared Goff, I'm not surprised. Daniel Jones, I'm not surprised. Now, here is the conundrum, and you went to Princeton, so you'll understand that. Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. Let's say, I would say worst case scenario, but best case scenario, Giants go 9-8. Now what do you do with Saquon Barkley's contract? What do you do with Daniel Jones' contract?
Well, obviously, and I know you know this, Dan, it depends on how well those guys
perform individually. Well. Let's say they play well. If you're getting to 9 wins, I'm assuming Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones will play well.
Yeah, I would think that the Giants would probably then go into year 5 of Daniel Jones, because I don't know how they'd be able to get somebody better, right? They'd have to do some type of new contract. I would be surprised if Daniel Jones played well enough that there'd be a big market for his services. So then really for both those guys, it probably comes down to just how much money other teams are willing to offer them versus what the Giants are willing to pay them. I mean, that would really be something, because we get to this position, forget running backs, forget Saquon for a second, but with quarterbacks, where it's like, it just feels like there's no middle ground. It feels like nobody makes between like $10 and $40 million. You're either over 40 and you're a starter that the team thinks is the guy, or you're less than 10 and you're a backup. Which, by the way, side note, hilarious that the Niners basically got Jimmy to take an $18 million pay cut because he wasn't the starter anymore. And now he is again. So now the Niners just got Jimmy for $18 million less. I would think if that under that scenario, Dan, I would think that the Giants would try to bring both of them back, but I don't think they would break the bank for either.
The Jimmy Garoppolo, I guess it's a good problem to have. You know, I said this a couple of weeks ago that I was told there the veterans in that locker room know Jimmy G helps them now. Trey Lance may be the future, and the future might not be now. It's certainly not now after the injury, but Jimmy G, they know, makes them better now. He's not as exciting, but he makes them better. We saw him yesterday, and he ended up, you know, obviously winning the game. But is there a scenario where, what if they go to the Super Bowl and Jimmy G is the quarterback? Like, do you have to bring him back?
Well, that's what's really going to be interesting, because under that scenario, I think you have to consider it strongly. And then there's the whole Trey Lance situation. Dan, the last time he really played was the fall of 2019 at the FCS level. Remember, 2020, there was no FCS football in the fall. 2021, he played that one game. Then he got drafted. Didn't play last year, obviously, other than a game or two. Played one game this year. I mean, next year, Trey Lance will be going into the year, number one, coming off a major injury. Number two, basically 3 years without playing. That's not good. There's nobody out there, nobody in the world that would say, you know what's really good for a young quarterback? 3 years of not playing at all, hardly, and just watching. It puts the Niners in a really tough spot with Lance moving forward, especially if Jimmy plays well and they go on another extended playoff run. I think they're going to have to consider their options at that point.
How excited would you be if you're a Dolphin fan?
Unbelievably excited. I mean, can you imagine all the years they've had recently where they haven't been good, where they haven't really been talked about, to come from behind in the fashion that they did against a good team like Baltimore? Although Baltimore, I have no idea what they were doing with some of their coverages. Uncharacteristic mental errors, just letting Tyreek Hill wide open 10 yards behind everybody. But still, they did it. Those are the type of games the Dolphins haven't won for years. And you got to be so fired up because, number one, it feels like you have the right coach. The players like him. You're 2-0, and he's getting the most out of Tua. You've got this dynamic wide receiver duo. I'm not sure
they're 2-0.
Ooh.
Yeah.
See, like, that bothers me because I pride myself in dad jokes. And, like, I want to use that now the rest of the week.
You can.
But do I have to say, like, if I'm every radio hit I do the rest of the week, do I have to say, well, actually, Dan Patrick said that on his show. That's not really mine. I'm stealing that.
No, you're on our team. It's okay.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Whatever you want, just take it.
I'm taking it. That is amazing. They are two. How about this? Okay. I'm doing the Bills Titans tonight.
Okay.
Somehow the Dolphins might come up.
Okay.
I am going to try to get a Tua and O reference in the broadcast tonight. And if I do, I'll let Fritzy and Paulie know. You guys can cut the audio.
Yeah.
That's now my goal, is to somehow mention, listen, the Bills need to win tonight, Tom. I'm doing it with Tom McCarthy because, you know, the Dolphins are 2-0.
And by the way, it'll be the Niners and the Broncos week 3 on Sunday Night Football. Well, boy, the fans didn't take long for them to turn on the new head coach and the new quarterback there, booing them in a less than inspiring win over the Texans. What exactly needs to change with the Broncos here?
It's so bad, Dan. Honestly, I was thinking about this morning. I'm not sure I can remember a head coach getting off to a worse start to his tenure than Nathaniel Hackett. And they actually won a game. They're 1-1. But just in terms, I mean, Dan, the short yardage and goal line play calling is crazy, but the delay of games, the lack of knowing what they want to do, the burning of timeouts, the whole crowd doing a 10-second countdown. You know, I heard Fritzy last week, okay? And Fritzy was freaking out, and you guys were like, Fritzy, it's one game. And I agree with all you guys. Like, Fritzy, chill out, dude. It's one game. Not anymore. I mean, what? In all sincerity, what are the odds? What are the chances that Nathaniel Hackett ends up being a really good coach after this? It just, it seems really small. It's certainly possible, but it seems small that you can be this unorganized, this inept, and then end up being like a top five, top 10 head coach. I mean, he might end up being okay. They might win 10 games this year. I don't know, but it couldn't have possibly gotten off to a worse start. If I was a Denver fan like Fritzy, I would be horrified right now.
Ross Tucker, CBS Westwood One color analyst, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, joining us on behalf of DraftKings. He's on the call for the Titans at the Bills. Westwood One coming up tonight. How concerned would you be about your Indianapolis Colts?
Oh, very. I mean, 24-0.
How does this happen? You got a good offensive line. You got maybe the best running back in the game. And you got Matt Ryan there. You got a pretty good or opportunistic defense. And you get roughed up by the Jags.
I'll tell you how it happens. Because the way the NFL works is, for whatever reason, whatever weakness you have, it seems like it almost always gets exacerbated. And Michael Pittman not being able to play that game reinforced that the Colts are not good enough at wide receiver. Their worst position group is receiver. They had one guy they could count on, Pittman. He didn't play. There's no separation. Ryan has nowhere to go with the ball. The O-line actually is not as good as they're supposed to be because the left tackle's not good. The right guard's a concern. It's a mess. And you think about all offseason, Dan, it was Jim Irsay, basically every chance he got, ripping Carson Wentz subtly and saying how different things were, how much better things were. I mean, he's going to try to trade Carson Wentz again. That's how bad that loss was to the Jags. I guess they're 0-1-1, but it feels like they're a lot worse.
The Bengals situation is puzzling because they went out and they acquired new talent on the offensive line. I don't know if they improved the offensive line because Joe Burrow's been sacked 13 times. Now, they could have won both of those games, but is this a bigger issue or is it just ease up here? It's only week two with the Bengals.
No, I think there's some legitimate concerns. Now, I do think over time the offensive line will get better. I mean, they've got four new pieces basically in place at left guard, center, right guard, right tackle. That position group, and I can speak to it, continuity, chemistry, that does make a difference, although they should be better than they have been. The one thing I will say, though, Dan, that I don't see anybody else ever say, Joe Burrow needs to get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Joe Burrow, but he takes too many sacks. He takes sacks he absolutely cannot and should not take. He did this last year. He's doing it again. A lot of times, quarterback sacks are more a quarterback stat than people give him credit for. Everybody, O-line sucks. O-line sucks. Joe Burrow needs to get rid of the ball too, Dan.
It's always good to talk to you. Have fun tonight, and we'll be listening. We appreciate, you know, maybe the shout out there.
We'll see whether or not the Bills can get to 2-0 as well. Doesn't work when you say the other team.
No, it doesn't work. No, it doesn't. Thank you, Ross.
See you, Dan.
That's Ross Tucker. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season.
This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner. Homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Heisman Trophy winner from 2007, ESPN college football analyst for the SEC Network, Tim Tebow, back on the program, joining us on behalf of Allstate. Good to see you again, Tim. What sport was tougher to give up, football or baseball?
That's a good one. First of all, good to see you again. It's been too long. Honestly, both of them were difficult. I'd say depending which part of the year it is, around Thanksgiving, Christmas, it's really hard not to be playing football. And around, you know, in the middle of spring when spring training is going on, that's really difficult not to be, you know, in the middle of spring training. But just loved both of them. Loved all the opportunities I got, you know, in both sports, right? You know, being able to not just pursue a dream, but then live it out in the moment. Even when people are like, how are you living? How is driving 17 hours in a bus a dream? But, you know, it really was. And that might not have been the best part of that dream. But it's just awesome opportunity. So grateful for it.
Tougher to play, quarterback in the NFL or they hit a baseball?
Now, Dan, that depends who's pitching.
Okay. If Jacob DeGrom is pitching.
Oh, it's definitely harder to play baseball. No doubt. Listen, I got to face, Jake, gosh, you know, 6 or 7 times probably. And, even then when you would get a weak fly ball or a ground ball, you'd be like, all right, that's not too bad. I'm out, but it's not too bad, you know?
Toughest defense you faced?
The Steelers were a really good defense. The Urlacher and Briggs and that group for the Bears, those were probably two of the better ones. The Jets in 11 with Rex Ryan, those were probably three of the best defenses I faced, probably. I mean, that Pittsburgh Steelers team we faced in the playoffs, they had one of the best, you know, historically good statistical defense. James Harrison, Troy Polamalu, all those guys, they were ridiculous.
What did they say to you? Anybody give you grief? Is there more trash talking in baseball or football for you?
Football, no doubt. They give you a lot of grief. I mean, some of them are really clever, you know? I give some of the people credit because it's like you would hear the same stuff a lot, you know? Like, you know, we're coming at you today and, you know, it's, it's Sunday. You better say some new prayers today, that sort of thing. You know? Like you'd get that a lot. But when it would be like original, you know, you'd be like, wow, that's really good. And I would even sometimes praise them for their trash talk. I'd be like, dude, I've never heard that. That is really good. Like, it sincerely made me laugh, you know? And I would try to praise them. But what I also felt like is when you would praise their criticism of you, it would be so disarming. Like, sometimes I would even get a, oh, thanks, you know? Like, they would tell me how they came up with it, you know? Like, I was thinking about that at Thursday after practice. Well, at least you weren't thinking about how to stop us, so that's good, you know?
We're talking to Tim Tebow. Where is your Heisman Trophy right now?
Oh, goodness. It just left Luke Bryan's house. It was there, Luke Bryan, the country singer.
Yeah.
For probably the last maybe 8-9 years, every year or every 6 months, I've used it to auction it off for a charity for people to keep in their homes and use it as something that they can, I don't know, brag about. So Luke Bryan, him and his wife, Caroline, who are so sweet, they're a big part of some nonprofits that we work together. And so he and his wife won it. And so then leading up to Florida, Georgia, because he's such a Georgia fan, like, he would put a Georgia jersey on it. He would put peanut butter all over it, let his dog lick it off. He would do all sorts of stuff. And I was like, this isn't fair, right? You know, he's trying to, you know, hurt my Heisman. So I worked with his wife to get one of his CMA Artist of the Year awards, which is, kind of a unique-looking award. And so I started getting that and then sending him videos of me using it as like a, you know, sparkling water opener or, you know, a jack for a car, being able to lift it up. And so we kept going back and forth. And I think the CMAs got kind of upset with it. I didn't actually hurt it. It just, you know, looked like we were using it that way.
Carson Palmer joined us and I asked him where his Heisman was. He says, it's in the garage. And I said, well, why don't you send it to me? He goes, all right. So he packed it up and then sent it to me for a year, and I had it in here because he didn't even have it on display.
Oh, Carson, come on. The thing that's awesome is it is such a cool award that is so prestigious that very few people have ever had the chance to be around it. And, you know, I'm so grateful, Dan. I've had, you know, with all the charities we've supported, it's been able to raise well over $1 million now. And, like, and just to, why have it in your garage when it can be in someone else's living room? And now a lot of kids are being helped with it. And, you know, my goal with that is that it could be the most impactful Heisman one day, not by, you know, sitting on a shelf and us looking at it, by, you know, being on a lot of other shelves and making an impact in a lot of kids' lives. So, Carson, come on, we got to get yours in some auctions for some kids.
No, it's a wonderful gesture on your part because you would think you would want to hold on to that and, you know, keep it in a safety deposit box or whatever. But
well, I gotta tell you how this idea started. So we're at this this gala for soldiers who have lost their lives in battle, and we're coming together to raise money for their kids to give them scholarships in Greenwich, Connecticut. And so, you know, that's a wealthy area, and there's all these wealthy people. And Nick Saban has an auction up there. And you know what? I hate losing to Coach Saban in Alabama. It only happened once, and it was one of the worst days of my life. And so I'm thinking, you know what? I want to help, but I also got to beat Coach Saban, right? You know, like we got to beat him in this auction. So it's like, you know what? What are these? I mean, these people have everything in the world. What's something they don't have? And I was like, oh, I don't think a lot of them have a Heisman.
Certainly so, not in Greenwich, Connecticut. There are not a lot of Heisman winners there in Greenwich, Connecticut.
And so I walk up there to tell the host. I said, hey, do you think it would be okay if I auctioned off my Heisman, or if you would auction off my Heisman for a year or something? And he looks at me like, what? Yeah, that'll be okay. And so we did it, and actually Kathy Lee Gifford won it there.
Oh, that's great. Who else has had your Heisman?
Everybody else that's had it, you wouldn't know.
Okay.
Just supporters of the charity, but those are the kind of the two more well people that have won it, well-known people that have won it, so it's kind of funny.
How did you, you know, kind of, I don't know if it was your family, how you grew up, but being philanthropic, you know, it's something that you seem to have embraced for a while now.
Well, I think it was had a huge impact on my life, the way that we grew up, having the chance to be born and grow up, live the first 5 years of my life in the Philippines, and, you know, to missionary parents that, you know, my dad is one of my biggest heroes because he spent his entire adult life helping people that could never do anything for him. And being able to see my mom, you know, just love people. And I mean, looking back on my whole life, it's very rare if I could even think of one or two instances she ever said something negative about somebody else, you know, and I think that had such a massive impact. And then you realize that, you know, there's a lot of things in life that are, that can feel like everything and so monumental in the moment, but ultimately, you know, these trophies and these championships and everything, they're awesome, but ultimately they're not what's most important. There's so many things that are more important. And I'm so grateful for that perspective, because I'm someone that can totally lean towards win at all costs, do whatever it can, the drive to compete and win. And I'm grateful for, you know, that other side that, you know, helps me gain perspective on what really matters, and never trying to lose sight of it, because it can happen so easily and so fast. And, you know, my parents have just been such an impactful, you know, purpose-led, heroes in my life that I'm just so grateful for.
There's two job openings right now, Nebraska and Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
If Urban Meyer asked your opinion, which job would be better?
Okay. I go Nebraska.
Because?
Because you have one of the best fan bases in college football. You have the ability there to raise money. And now with the NIL in college football, that even though it's not the best recruiting base, Nebraska still has a pretty well-known name, and you can be able to rally that fan base to be able to go get some of the players you need. I think Arizona State is actually a pretty good job. So it's not a knock to Arizona State's job. I think it's a good job. There's a lot of athletes in that area. You talk about the Scottsdale, Chandler, you know, that Phoenix area. There's some athletes you can go get. I mean, you look at all the quarterbacks that are playing right now in the NFL or a college quarterback that are right from that area. Spencer Rattler's one of them, you know, that they've never been able to keep there at home. Jack Miller at Florida, another one. So they got to be able to keep some of those guys at home. But I just think to tradition and – you know, I had the chance to, you know, do a few events with Coach Osborne in Nebraska, and to see the way those fans rally. They love their team. They want their team to win. They're going to support. It's one of the best fan bases, not to mention they're also probably one of the nicest. But I just think if they got someone like an Urban, they got someone that I think you could rally it very fast, and I think you could get more players than maybe a lot of other places around the country.
How does it help you, if it does? Florida would play cupcakes, and, you know, I don't know what you get out of playing a team that you're going to beat by 50 points.
besides giving them like 500,000.
Yeah, or a million. Yeah.
It's not something that I really liked. They're my least favorite games. I love it when we see the Alabamas and the Texases, and I think we're going to see more of that, especially with the 12-team playoff coming here in a couple years. They're going to figure that out. But whenever that does come, I think you will see some ADs and presidents start to adjust because they're going to realize the more that we reward teams for playing hard, big games early in the year, and then they get rewarded at the end of the year for doing that, I think the more the ADs will continue to do that. And I think that needs to happen. I think it's better for college football, a game that I love so much. And I think also the players want to play in it. You can't tell me they want to play in some of these cupcake games. They don't, right? They want to play. They want to go to Austin, and they want to play in that game. They want to play in Atlanta to start the season, you know, Georgia and Oregon. They want to play in those games. I think the fans want to see it as well. So I'm in favor of that.
You interested in coaching?
I love coaching. I love mentoring. I love helping. I love taking what you've been able to learn and being able to apply it to the next generation. I'd say the reason that college coaching isn't quite as appealing to me is because it is so much more than a full-time job. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to, you know, be a college coach and then I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And for me, I'm so fortunate, you know, to be able to do a lot of things that I'm so passionate about, you know, my foundation being number one of, you know, bringing faith, hope, and love to those needing a brighter day in their darkest hour of need. That now we're fortunate to serve in over 70 countries around the world. You know, I couldn't do that and still coach. And it's just so much, so important to me. And so while I would love the thought of coaching and, you know, there's been some fun opportunities that have been presented, I don't feel like I could give up the rest of that.
Are the arms bigger than they were when you played?
I don't think so. You know, probably about the same size.
I don't know. Looks like maybe.
Definitely not bigger than the Jets. I got too big there.
Okay.
That was the Wildcat.
Did you know that you were going to be photographed with your shirt off that one day in the rain with the Jets?
Do you know how many days after practice we would stay and do stuff extra on the side fields and run and everything else, you know? And, I mean, that was, you know, Florida, Denver, everywhere else I would go. We would go in backfields and we would run and we would train. And some of my favorite things, I would even have strength coaches come out there after practices. That's just the only place that they will get back to backfields to be able to film you. And that's probably what, you know, my lack of awareness to say, hey, where you are, they're going to, you know, it was never something that you were quite like, okay, this is just private. This is what they're doing over there, you know? And,
yeah, but the rain and,
I know, but it just sends off such the wrong message, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It almost looked like, you know, they had it in slow motion. So when you were running,
I'm sure some people probably did.
Like Baywatch, you know, when Pamela Anderson would run on the beach.
Which is exactly what I was going for, definitely.
What are you doing with Affleck?
Well, it's actually Allstate, but...
Oh, Allstate. Allstate.
Yeah, no problem.
Oops, man, I fumbled it. My bad. E-me. We'll edit that out. Hey, what are you doing with Allstate?
No, it's one of my favorite teams I get to be a part of because the Allstate Good Works team is a good works team that honors 22 amazing young athletes and one honorary coach, 11 from the FBS, and then the other 11 made up from the FCS, Division II, Division III, NAIA. And Dan, there's so many awards and championships and trophies that all these young men get for what they do on the field. But this is one of the few things that honors them for what they do off of the field. And, you know, so many of these young men are making differences in their community and their city, states, but honestly, even around the world. And it's really cool to be able to see and, you know, some of these guys, what they're doing is incredible. And so this Allstate AFCA Good Works team is built up of amazing young men doing amazing things in their community. And I mean, you talk about what some of these guys are doing. You know, one of them that stands out to me is Big Man Big Heart. You know, an offensive lineman from FSU, that's what his charity is called, Big Man Big Heart. He's raised over, you know, $205,000, you know, for kids with leukemia. And, I mean, just it's over. No, Andrew Carlson for Auburn, the kicker, they've had Carlson's there for about 40 years kicking. And, You know, it's so cool. He's doing mission trips in the DR. Caleb Williams, quarterback at USC, he's on the team, and you may be the most recognizable, but what he doesn't actually get recognized enough for is his Caleb Cares Foundation, you know, and making a difference in anti-bullying. And so it's so amazing to see what these guys are doing. And I do want to give credit to Coach Stoops. He's an honorary coach. And not only is he doing an unbelievable job at Kentucky with their program and just being probably the best of all time in that organization, but then, you know, what he doesn't get credit for is the millions that he's donated and done and rallying people for their hospitals. It's really cool. So that's what the Good Works team's all about.
You visit ESPN.com/Allstate to meet this year's roster. I have that home run bat that you sent me. Is that the bat that you hit your last home run?
I don't know if that was the last home run, but it was a home run, yes.
Okay, because I feel bad.
Why? Don't.
Okay, but, you know, like you loan out your Heisman, like I just want to make sure you don't go, hey, anybody want the home run bat, the last home run I hit in the minor leagues?
No, it's okay. You need it. You have it. If you want it,
okay.
You keep it there. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Every now and then you want to take some cuts, just take some cuts. You know?
I don't think you want me in the cage with that bat. It won't last long. So Tim Tebow joining us on behalf of Allstate. Visit ESPN.com Allstate to meet this year's roster. Great to have you back. Thank you. Thanks for sharing the stories, and great to see you again.
Great to see you. Blessing to see you, man.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.